party line. Today we've got a very special Sci-Fi Party Line. We are broadcasting live from my bed. Thank you. I've got my pillow right here. My covers right here. I am just chill. I am telling you.
I woke up and I've been preparing for 2 hours.
Mr. 2 hours? What?
I've been taking notes. I've been, trying to be prepared so I won't, call people the guy with the thing and the hoo-dah and blah, blah.
Shoot, I thought that was our thing. I was going to call people by the name with the thing and hoo-dah and stuff. Shoot. All right. Well, before we go into the crazy
danger. No, that intro, that was it, buddy.
What do you
That's
mean?
That's going at the, that was the intro.
Oh, shoot.
Your intro was the intro.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. So, yeah, today we're going to talk about a little of Warehouse 13, because there's not much talk about since the last time we spoke. Now, this season seems a little weak to me.
Well, okay.
Weaker than, maybe there have been fun episodes. Of course, we had the crossover episode, which to me was pretty epic. But
that was great.
Yeah.
But okay, I'm sorry. Go on.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I thought you were gonna, talk about why it was is.
Well, I want you to finish because I'm trying to understand. All right, let me start with it. I agree in some ways that Warehouse 13 was a little bit weaker this season. But here's what mattered to me. It seemed like, all right, the first season, and we were first introduced to all the characters. You and I talked a little about this, but. Yeah, it seemed like they were trying to play it straight and they were trying to be all serious and kind of dark and very serious. And to me, they couldn't quite pull that off throughout mm-hmm. the whole first season. I liked the series and I was watching it. I was trying to hang in there with them. But that part of it didn't quite work. And then it was just like one day they said, all right, no one's buying this. Let's just ham it up now. Let's just be goofy and silly with the things and just be a little bit. And that's when I started to like the series a lot more. The characters got a lot cornier. And by the way, what's it? Okay, we've got, I think, probably the most uninteresting superpower to watch on television is the power of observation. Okay, and if you think about the two, seriously now, from between Warehouse 13 and our other favorite, what's the guys with the dancing crustacean lady?
Sanctuary.
Yeah, and Sanctuary. See, it's been so long.
I can't even pronounce it anymore.
See what's wrong with this hiatus? When you can't even remember the show, it's been away so long. This, you guys are killing it. Anyway, when you have got your lead's superpower as the ability to observe things, that is just, there's no way to pull
that
off.
Who has that superpower?
What's his name? Fake Daniel Jackson. Has, mm-hmm.
We're talking about Sanctuary. What are we?
Right,
what?
Okay, both got, okay, from Sanctuary, fake Daniel Jackson has the same power as Pete from Warehouse 13. Pete's got a heightened...
Now, Pete has a spider sense.
Well, yeah, but it's also sort of like a... Okay, well, yeah, it is spider sense, but it's still like he can walk into an environment and, ooh, something here's not right. Or, ooh...
They're not really doing that this season, though.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, to have that ability and to try to show that week after week in each episode, there's no interesting way to do that.
No.
So, I mean, between hamming up the guys and getting rid of the kind of weak superpowers, I think the people of Warehouse 13 have gotten more interesting this season.
That's
and of
true.
Course, Of course, I like, Hattie H.G.
But that's
and.
what I'm saying. They didn't use her. The time that they used her was in the episode for the team, and she was a good guy. And I don't want that. I want a season long bad guy. And in the end, I mean, they're doing the same thing as they're doing with your guy McPherson. He was evil, then he turned it out to be, turned out to be good and blah and oh, okay, whatever. But if they try to do that this season again, then I'm a little bored. And I thought she was gonna play, more of a part. I thought she was gonna be, in the corners twirling her mustache or lady mustache, whatever. And I just wanted a little bit more from her, and now she's, giving Micah her grappling gun. They have a little, girl on girl smile session going on.
Yeah, well, I wanted her to be evil longer. And of course, I have a sneaking suspicion that she has ulterior motives. So she's just lulling us into a false sense of goodness right
Oh,
now. You
yeah.
see, that's what I'm hoping for,
Okay,
because
Carl.
I agree with you that she being good is far less interesting than if she was consistently an evil person. Lady Mustache? Anyway, I think, yeah, she is
It's
far.
invisible. You just sit there and you twirl and it's not there. Okay,
I'm not
fine. Whatever,
touching that one
whatever.
at all. I am not going there.
Whatever.
But she's I think she would have been, because Warehouse 13 does need a good bad guy, just to sort of darken things and to be a fun foil. And man, she would be a great, I mean, I like to see her.
They're
So
falling into the same Eureka trap where every episode, is one episode unto itself, and they're just trying to wrap it up too nicely, and they're not bringing the crack TV that we're looking forward. And but at the same time, I do love everything that's going on. The 13.1 episode, which was the crossover, had
awesome.
Odo from Deep Space Nine. He was as a ghost in the machine of all types of things, and he was Odo all the way. What is it, Renee? I can't pronounce his last name, but
Yeah, Archer Bergdahl
yeah,
is
blah, blah,
Spock.
yeah, that thing. And I
Let
really
me tell you
enjoyed that.
something.
What?
Okay, let me tell you something fun about that. Years and years ago, I went to a convention where at just the beginning of Deep Space Nine, when the series had just come out, and he was one of the guests, and he got up there and he said, the thing I love most about being Odo is that when they put all the makeup on, you can't see all my wrinkles, right? He was joking. And so the first half of the episode, we see him as, holographic, go-go 70s scientist cyborg guy. And as soon as he gets merged back with his body, I just thought it was perfectly him. He probably even added that line. If he reaches under his neck, he goes, what the hell is this? That was so funny. So, oh, it was great to see him. And that's sort of an ongoing gag with him.
He makes up well. All they do is, throw some makeup on him, and this dude looks the same as he did 30 years ago. And wow, he has nine lives.
Yeah, it was good to see him. He was a very unusual choice for scientist slash AI, but he
No,
pulled
I
it off.
think he was perfect and pretty. He was pretty much like, let me be Odo in this role, because he was pretty much that. Because he was like, you can't do this, and the security measures, and he was really dry, and
Oh yeah, how about that? He was security guy again.
yeah. So he was very, kind of mean and dry like Odo was, but then you have the regular Odo who's, once he fell in love with Kieran Reese and he got soft and blah. Okay, this is not Deep Space Nine. But anyway, I really enjoy seeing that, and that was very fun. They had a lightsaber that they made out of like duct tape and silly string or
So
something. And
ridiculous.
yeah.
They could not have gotten away with that in first season, but now we know that they're just being silly. That flies now. That
Yeah, it
flies.
does fly. And Fargo, come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No
so
kidding.
then you had Around the Bend where Pete, this was my least favorite episode of the season because, oh, one of the team loses his mind. Blah.
Yeah,
I
that did
just.
seem kind of filler. That just
I
that
enjoyed seeing Mrs. Frederick and Benedict Valda, but. And Tia
yeah, prayer, yeah,
Carrera.
prayer.
Oh man, but it was just such a. I just. I couldn't get into it. But I
No.
mean, there were funny parts. It was our characters that we loved, and it's just something didn't work about it. So.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. This season, I really enjoyed the characters a lot more than the stories, and
Yeah.
which is not bad. I mean, I mean, compared to what we've been through and some of the other stuff we've
Oh,
had to deal
man,
with,
yeah.
at least we find the people interesting that are behind these stories.
And
You
it
know, I'm
wasn't
I,
bad enough for me to, say, oh, I'm not watching this anymore. It was
absolutely.
just like, oh, I wanted a little bit more. So it's not really a diss. It's more of, come on, come with it, guys.
And it seems like they are finding themselves with the series. They've swung from one direction to another in terms of the theme, in terms of the feel of the show, in terms of who the people are in it. So now, so first they tried to set a mood and make it a little bit darker. Now they focus more on the characters and been a little more silly and a little more fun. So maybe with the third season, they're gonna really nail it with the balance between the environment and the characters that they're defining here. So.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not dissing, I'm not hating or anything. It's fun, and I have enjoyed watching it. So
Well, yeah,
it's.
they came back up with the fun for the team where Claudia joins forces. Well, she actually goes out in the field. That was pretty fun. Because that's the one where, H.G. Wells is a good guy and she's cooperating and I didn't get it and blah, whatever. But this one for last week where Pete and Micah switch bodies, oh man, that was so funny. That was so
And I
funny.
was thinking that was going to be a little cliched, but that was pretty darn good. They
It was a cliche theme, but the way that Micah was just such a funny Pete. I mean, the way she sat weird and belched and ate chicken wings and talked sport. It was really funny. And Pete finally, bedded Dr. Kelly from Defying Gravity, but
Yay. You excited about that?
Well, I like her more in Warehouse 13 than I did on Defying Gravity. So, yeah, no. You're just in love with her because she showed partial boob.
Hey, the I was merely making an editor's note about that, a little
Editor's note, my
cinematography
eye.
framing. But seriously, even that, I'm not a tremendous fan yet. I mean, I think she's pretty and all, but her characters, her personality and her characters haven't been really interesting. They've always been these sort of sarcastic, pessimistic, kind of narrow vision kind of people, and I haven't found her characters very, very enjoyable. So.
Well, what can you do? They also had a wrestler in that episode. That's how they're mixing up the wrestling and the
Oh,
science via the
nice
dashing
smooth
Cody
crossover.
Rhodes. Yeah.
Smooth crossover. No one saw what they were doing with that at all.
Well, is it any different from when Star Trek Voyager had The Rock on and he
That was
body slammed
awful. It
Seven
was
and Nine?
awful. As much as I love Seven in her episodes, to see The Rock in Seven on Star Trek, that was just horrible.
I'm a little appreciative, more appreciative of him now after seeing Race to Witch Mountain. He was really cool, and that was a sci-fi. You don't like that movie? It was cute.
I didn't see the movie. I'm simply saying, I got no problem with The Rock. I like The Rock. But to try to,
Well, at the
just
point in
shoehorn.
time, I didn't care about because it was like, wrestling, what are you doing now? I don't want to see no damn rock in his eyebrow lid. I was
Wrestling
pissed.
into Star Trek just seems wrong. So we've had a chat about that. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, yeah. But I wish they would have gotten some, 'cause he's not that attractive to me. So I didn't get it other than they was trying to say, "Yes, we're sci-fi and we have wrestling." And
That is clear.
you can't, yeah. So Warehouse 13 doing a pretty good job. Don't hate it, still watching it. Characters great, story needs to pick up a little bit more and I think we might get that next week.
Yay, yay.
Because Artie's going to be kidnapped by Russians or something or another. I don't know.
Oh,
Who knows? Who knows?
You're dead. Undead. Not a vampire. But not what I'm. Carter, you're the last person I thought would freak out. Not. I mean, it's not. Because it, is it real? Is it,
it's real.
Where you been?
Stuck in space-time. Drifting, really.
But this is Eureka.
It's only a matter of time before some idiot's experiment failed miserably and I found a pathway home.
And let's talk about my favorite, Eureka.
Still on top, Eureka.
Wow, we have the return of Nathan Stark, and it did not disappointed technically, but it was not disappointing. Back for good.
I'm sorry your boyfriend was imaginary.
Shut the what?
As soon as I saw where that story was going, I was like, oh, God.
My imaginary Nathan Stark. Boo. But you know what? I enjoyed it. I think Carter's missing this, you know, guy behind him heckling him, because it's just perfect. They went back and forth and bounced off of each other in a way that we haven't seen in a very long time to challenge Carter, you know, and I really enjoy that about him. And it did not hurt that he took his shirt off, you know. So I don't think you've ever done that before.
Just don't get it.
It's science, Carter. No one expects you to get it.
Well, did you
put a shirt on?
Hey, this is your fantasy, not mine.
Nightmare. Shirt it.
I had totally forgotten about how much fun the banter between those two are. Because I got to admit, I'm kind of biased toward the scientists and the big brains on Eureka. So I appreciate what Carter brings to the episodes in terms of, you know, making things understandable. And, you know, he breaks down the stories for folks who may not be in the, quote, language of the technology. I always thought Stark talking down to him was kind of painful, though, because, you know, Stark was just so mean. He's like, oh, you're going to bring us something with twine and rubber bands this time, Carter? Every time he was dogging him. So I didn't like the arrogance on that, but still, it was still fun.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah, because he's like, you spend 4 years in this town, and that's the biggest word that you...
You're reading Douglas?
I'm homeless. That's bad, right?
4 years in this town, that's the word you pick up?
Oh, shut up.
Right out the gate, nailed him. Right out the gate. And I totally forgot how much fun those two going back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And he
didn't miss a beat. It was not awkward at all. It was just, it's like he never left with the quick wit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really enjoyed, Tess, I didn't even really see her. She didn't annoy me. I mean, I was so happy to see Nathan Stark that she was like, was she even there? You know how, like, I defend episode one because, like, Liam Neeson just overshadowed Jar Jar Binks. I didn't even see Jar Jar because of Liam Neeson. That's
you
how this episode...
You really love Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah, I really do.
Because Lisa say that was impossible to ignore.
Oh man, I didn't even see that little thing until people start bitching, man. But anyway, when he gave his first explanation for returning,
right?
You know, he blah blah something. I believed it, and I bought it.
What?
Well, no, I bought it because it's like, yeah, but blah blah, and I did this, and I'm back, blah, and I was like, okay, typical Eureka, let's go. And so I thought, you know, with this weird hoo-ha that they did or whatever, that he was back and that's how he got back, and I was okay with it, and I was just gonna let it go because that's how you do in Eureka.
Well, okay, the explanation that he gave was a little thin to me, but
everything on Eureka is thin.
Okay, no, but see, that's the best the problem.
That's what that's I'm saying problem. That's why I bought it. It's thin.
Sometimes Eureka is a little thin on the technology for a show that's supposed to be, you know, set in the world of scientists and physicists and all that.
Dude, that's just not for like real scientists to watch.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're gonna do a show on Eureka, you know, a world of scientists, you may want to, you know, step up a little on that. But again, I agree with you. I let it pass. I let it go. And but his explanation felt particularly thin, but I figured it was because they really, really were going to bring Stark back. I did not make the connection with the corniness of why he was back, that was, you know, maybe something that Carter was imagining, or maybe it was, you know, because, you know, this is Carter's science. So we got.
Oh, that is great that you pointed that out, because it would be something that Carter would be like, yeah, the blah, blah, and the blah. And
exactly. So I was thinking, okay, maybe that's why. But But still, yeah. It took me quite a while to figure out that it was a sixth sense, like, hallucination going, and across the different people. Even once I figured out what was going on with one character, I was like, oh, that's happening with him. Oh, and that's happening with her. I think it was last for me to get Lupo to figure out that Zane was not real. It took me a while.
I was having a martini, so it until they told us, I didn't know.
Oh wow! Yeah. But I mean, it was great. I mean, because I'm always wary of sixth sense like twists in stories, and so even when it's done, I'm like, oh, that was kind of corny, or that wasn't. Here they did a good job with it. Again, it's a real testament to how well they do with Eureka. That some of these elements, of course, we've seen it before, but they still were able to execute it in an interesting, unique way that really didn't seem corny or boring or anything.
And what did Stark remind you of?
Yes, you mean Scorpius Stark? He even had the Hawaiian shirt on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Scorpius Stark. That was kind
of there was a lot of little references anybody could interpret that as Farscape or not, you know, but they had a True Blood reference where Ed Quinn looked, I think Carter said, are you dead, are you undead, blah blah, or something, and then Stark looked in a mirror, saw his reflection, and said, nope, not a vampire, because he was Vampire Stan on True Blood.
Oh, night. Well, you know what my favorite reference was.
Tell me.
I mean, what about you? You were at the barbecue. You haven't said anything about who you're seeing.
The guy whose life she saved 63 years ago.
Tall, leggy blonde. Slinky red dress.
Old girlfriend.
I could tell you about her.
What the hell's this?
Baltar! And what did you hallucinate? Oh, a leggy blonde in a red dress. It's a long story. Perfect. That was
perfect.
I was rolling when he did that.
That was great. It was perfectly delivered. It had the ham on it with the little smile and everything. It was great.
So, to be able to expertly pull that off and not really take you out of the story, that's one of the real hallmarks of Eureka. They can have a lot of fun with the characters that come in and out of the series, where they've been, what, you know, how they've recycled some of these people. It was just very elegant how they did it.
I'm a little upset that Stark's not back, but or back for real back, what the hell. And I don't know.
I also thought that that all of the people in the room, you know, just before the kiss was very well done too.
Yeah.
You know, we've been waiting for the kiss, for the real kiss, not one in the past, not in the pressure of death, but you know, a kiss between those two. That
a kiss and some sook it now.
Oh, it's a bow bow. Yeah. Did you see him skipping up them stairs? He's like, all right.
No, he tried to play it cool, and then he's like, let me not, and run upstairs.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, but to have their psyches, literally, you know, their ex-psyches sitting right behind them. Now, you know you're going to have to tell them about this. You know you're going to have to tell her about it. It was beautiful. That was just such a, you know, it's a darn near Shakespearean way of trying to portray that. But using, you know, all of the cool technology and the insanity that is Eureka. It was just very, very well done.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Well, we have another thing. Dr. Grant is up to shenanigans with a Beverly Barlow. Yeah. She rebuilt the damn bridge device. So we don't know what's going to happen now. Because I thought, this is our Eureka. I like this Eureka. I don't mind it at all. You know, and who knows what's going to happen with the bridge device.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about all of that.
I don't either.
I liked her as a bad guy. I liked her earlier in the series. But so much has changed now with the dynamics of the people on the show and where the story was going. to bring her back on one hand, I liked who she was in what she brought to the series before, but now with things being so different, I'm going, okay, how's this, is this going to work?
She's going to be the baddie. I mean, because that's what she was. And I think when she left before, she was built up as this big secretive, bad, manipulative person. And then she kind of left in a whimper. And I don't really know what happened to her or her story or what went on. And, and they took the other son, and then we went a whole season without seeing a son. And then this season we get a son, Allison's son rather. And then now she's back. Well, maybe we get to see her finish something as a bad guy in a logical fashion that just doesn't get dropped.
Right.
Or maybe not. I just think she got a raw deal, and she shouldn't be the person that's real. I'm upset about that.
Yeah.
Nathan Starr, Ed Quinn is not doing anything. whatever. He should be on the show. That I don't know, but
that's one thing I don't get about these folks. If you become very popular in the sci-fi realm, if you become a major character, very popular, people know you from the world of science fiction. You've got a certain set of fans that have propelled you to that position. To get to that point and then say, all right, now I'm going to leap off of this and start my career as something else, because, that was just a stepping stone. And then to try to be big outside the sci-fi realm. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible, but there's a certain, a certain respect and a certain a connection that you have with your fan base when you start in the world of sci-fi that you have to respect. You got to respect.
That is true.
You can't just take off. And you see it time and time again where these celebrities leave. And I guess they think, well, I'm too big for science fiction, so now I'm going to go into drama. And then it's just like one guy in a patty going, he did very well. And there's no one else out there.
I agree with that. I think it isn't certain that he left because he was being a diva, but that is the rumor. But I don't know. I mean, he came back, so who,
Yes,
I don't know why he's not in more things.
She also came back. Who? And back Denise Crosby. Yar.
Oh,
she
God. Back
again
that
and
was
again.
Miserable.
And again. People are free to do what they want. I'm not saying that actors, have to adhere to a certain thing, but actors do have to respect their fans. You cannot be an excellent world famous celebrity actor and pay no attention to the people who got you there. And so often in the world of science fiction.
Hell, Lucas does it. Nah, let me quit.
So kidding. Often in the world of science fiction. these actors come to a certain level of celebrity. And honestly, if they hadn't started in the world of science fiction, they would not have been able to achieve that same level of celebrity. And so to try to, to try to transcend that and to ignore the fans that got you there, where if you had tried to do that anywhere else, you would not have gotten as far. It always concerns me when I see.
Well, for being a popular doctor on Eureka, if you're going to get typecast, okay, great. You're going to get typecast as a doctor. So let's say he goes on CSI. They're most likely going to want him to be a doctor. If he goes anywhere else, they're most likely going to want, make him a doctor or something like that. Yeah. Or maybe a vampire. I don't know. But I don't know what he's doing. He's super hot. I don't know why he's not on everything. Maybe I just think he's hot. I don't know what the deal is with that. But he should. It's just weird to me that he's not in more stuff. Because usually women eat guys up like that for candy, and they're just in everything.
And I mean, he is a stellar actor too. I mean, he really has a sense of presence. He's not corny or heavy-handed. You feel what he's trying to do.
He is not really good with a Texas accent.
Well, okay, that was not something I was looking for, but okay, well,
no,
great.
Because he was on True Blood, and he tried to do a Southern accent, and it was just not good.
Oh, okay, well.
Yeah, it was. He has his weak spots there.
Well, don't have him as a ranger then. That's
Yeah, let's hope they don't. But, yeah, I Wow, I'm probably going to do an episode on Eureka every week, maybe, because...
it's your one-woman bring back Stark campaign, is what
yeah.
it is.
One woman. There's plenty of others out there.
But none with your passion, baby. None with your...
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I did type in all caps on Twitter. I apologize for that. I was a little excited and a little tipsy, so...
This is great, really, but can't we just shut it off? I mean, I'm tired of hearing about the shoes I have to fill.
Size 13. Just saying.
It isn't.
That's our show, guys. We love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. 773-336-2686. Send us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send us a message on Facebook.com/Sci-Fi Party Line or go to SciFiPartyLine.com to leave us a comment. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.